11:08. Welcome back. It's Monday, and every Monday we check in with Dick Weiss, media critic, formerly of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. His website, weisswrite.com, WeissWrite.com, is a place where you can email him, listen to past discussions here, as well as all sorts of interesting tidbits and news information. Dick Weiss, welcome back to the Big 550 KTRS.
Great to be here.
Big news of the week, huge news, and I don't know if it's big news or if it's because it's a little bit slower in the summertime, but Rupert Murdoch buys the Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
And so what are the journalists in the community saying? Are they running for cover?
Well, it's really a mixed bag. There, if you look at it on the plus side, Murdoch has a lot of resources. The Wall Street Journal as a business was not doing that well, and it looked like cuts were coming. And Murdoch can prevent that from happening. Pour more resources into it. He wants to make the journal more accessible to a greater number of people, and it could all be wonderful. However, the reaction from the staff, not so positive. A lot of people very upset. One reporter said, "People are aghast that this could have happened. It's a sickening realization to know that this really great, iconic newspaper is not only no longer going to be independent, but it's also going to be controlled by a man whose values are inimical to ours." I can't even pronounce that word. They use SAT words at the journal. Maybe not much longer, though.
that's how upset they truly are. Yes. I mean, you know, I don't know what I think about this. The man owns the New York Post, which is one of the great rags in the country, and then he also owns the Wall Street Journal, which is considered the greatest publication in the country.
Yes, and the London Times, and he and the Fox Network, and it's really it's hard to predict. There's supposed to be a committee that will prevent too much interference from him, but after all, he owns the paper, right. And from my standpoint, it's this is a great country. If you own it, you should be able to interfere with it all you want.
But also, he is known to love newspapers. He's also known to have newspapers run at a deficit for a long time.
Yes. Now, that he has owned some American newspapers. I think it was San Antonio Express and some others that he's dumped over the years. He has not always made great successes of them or has been steadfast with them. But he's a newspaper man. There are people getting into this game who are not newspaper people and don't really get it. He gets it, and each of his properties have their own kind of character, and so we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Also, we learned about this buyout from our local newspaper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which misspelled Murdoch on the cover of the business section. Did you see that?
Right. No, I didn't.
Yes.
How did they spell it?
They spelled
M-E-R?
No. It was it's D-O-C-H, right?
Right.
They spelled it D-O-C-K.
D-O-C-K.
Right.
Okay.
Which they had a correction the next day. But it was in big banner headlines. And they ran a correction the next day. We talked about it on the show. Now, granted, it's a mistake.
Yes.
It's a big mistake. And I would suspect the bigger the font, the bigger the mistake, since it was
yes.
in the headline.
Yes.
But people treated it like it was the end of the world.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's a mistake, right?
Yeah. It's over the years and other newspapers have benefited exactly from that kind of credibility, that they do get it right most of the time.
Right.
And what's happening now is that as newspapers reduce their staffs, part of that is on the copy desk, and less proofreading is done, and less fact-checking can be done, and you diminish the value of your brand. That's what happens.
What do you think of the latest Post-Dispatch offer to buy out more people?
Well, it's a shame. I was part of the last buyout 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago it was offered, and now the Post is offering essentially the same deal. Back then they said, you know, this is maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and here it is. Just 2 years later, they're offering the same deal to their employees. If you're over 50, have at least 10 years at the paper, you can get, I don't think it was 2 weeks' pay for every year of service up to a full year of pay. And that means that there will be fewer staff members at the paper. I heard a target number of about 60. Last time, 130 people left, 40 out of the newsroom. And that took its toll, and it will take its toll even more now. And you will see what you have already begun to see is that on the section fronts, there will be more wire stories, less locally produced stories. In Sunday's paper, there was a wire story on the news analysis page. A major feature on the business page was wire. The travel premier centerpiece story on the travel section was wire. And that's one of the many cuts that are going to take place. Ironic that this is all taking place as the Post-Dispatch is giving away millionaire money.
And their stock price isn't doing all that well.
No. When Lee took over... the Post-Dispatch bought the paper and 14 properties for, what was it, $1.46 billion. Lee stock was $45 a share. Today I looked at it, it was trading about $16.
Now, it's not all people not reading newspapers over the last 2 years. There's something else going on. That was a question.
Essentially, Lee Enterprises and the rest of print publishers hit an iceberg
right.
A few years ago. It was called the Internet, and that is just taking eyeballs away from the newspaper.
But the Internet was around 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was around 4 years ago. It was around 5 years ago. What is it over the last two years? Has it just become more pervasive?
I think more and more people are becoming comfortable with that platform, their way of getting the news, and more and more advertisers are seeing the benefits. One of the things about the Internet that is useful is that you can really measure the number of people who go to your advertising website or whatever it may be and
right.
get really hard numbers, and you can advertise to a more discreet audience, the audience that actually wants your product. And the other thing is there are a lot more people in the game. The publishers, the Post-Dispatch is the only daily newspaper in town.
Right.
And now on the web, they're just one of a multitude.
I really still cannot believe that they don't have some subscription based for STLtoday.com.
No, pay?
Pay yeah. Some type of pay. Now, I am a subscriber 7 days a week of the paper. They give me free access to it because I'm a subscriber. But if you don't subscribe, then you know what? You have to pay a subscription fee to go online to get the information.
Yeah, it's some newspapers have experimented with pay, and if the model were there, believe me, they would make you pay.
Right.
But they need lots of people looking at that website, and if you put up a barrier like pay, you'll have fewer eyeballs. You'll sell less advertising.
Right, but you'll also get some people to pay.
Yeah.
That's one of those local places you have to go for information. Once something breaks, that's where everybody goes. And so they're giving all that away for free, and there's not a business out there who can give away their product for free and last very long. There was another question I had, and I totally blew it. All right, I guess not. I want to spend just a moment. What's this Philadelphia Inquirer story?
It's interesting. You know, it's National Night Out tomorrow, and lots of people participate in that. And there was the guy who invented it. It's a guy by the name of Matt Peskin, the National Association of Town Watch, and he got it going in 1984. And it's a feel good kind of event. There's no evidence, according to the Inquirer, that it stops crime.
you meet some neighbors.
Nevertheless, the federal government has given Town Watch quite a bit of money over the years, and Matt Peskin gets a salary of $255,000, which is more than any federal official makes anywhere in the country. He makes more than the governor. He runs an organization with essentially one other full-time staff member and a budget under $1 million. And if you compare it to other nonprofit management, he should be making about $70,000. This is what the Philadelphia Inquirer found out. So when you're talking to your neighbor tomorrow night, this is something you can talk about how you're paying for Matt Peskin's, you know. Now, somebody said that Matt is a really good guy, and he does the work of two people, which means he should be making $140,000. By my calculation, I'm not good at arithmetic. That's why
and
I went
or,
to journalism.
And or $500,000.
Yeah.
What a great story. Not to mention, guy only works really one night a year.
Well, you got to get this thing ramped up a little bit. It does take a little preparation. I'm sure he puts in a lot of work, but he seems overpaid.
I know the question I forgot to ask you. Friday on the show, we had a gentleman named Jeffrey McCall, who was a media studies professor at DePauw University. He quoted a study that said newspapers that add staff increase circulation, and that newspapers that cut staff or offer buyouts, their subscription continues to go down. Have you seen any anecdotal evidence of that, or your travel seen anything like that?
No, I haven't. And how did he do his study?
I don't know. He wasn't his study, but he was quoting a study.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't quite get the
I think I remember something
was.
Like that. If you talk to an editor, they will try to make that case, but I don't think there's probably one publisher in the country who believes that.
Right.
And I remember one of the things that I've always been promoted is narrative journalism, stories with a beginning, a middle, and an end. Stories are very compelling and close to the bone. And I once I tried to get an audience in front of a publisher's group, and I was talking to a publisher in Wichita, and I said, do you think, he really enjoyed the talk that I gave on narrative. Do you think I can get in front of a publisher's group? And he said, no. And I said, well, why not? Don't you think this would help sell papers and get you closer to the community? He said, I might think that, but there isn't anybody at a publisher's meeting who won't be playing golf while you're speaking. So,
well, there you go.
You know.
All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, you were talking about your neighbor in the last hour,
right.
And this is a story about a neighbor, a guy by the name of Bill Judge. We've all had neighbors like this. This is a guy who keeps like five cars in his driveway, and he's a little eccentric, and he's an elderly man, and your tendency is to keep your distance. But the neighbors around Bill Judge noticed that he was doing poorly, and they tried to take care of him, and he hurt his knee, and helped him find some health care. And it turned out that Bill Judge isn't an eccentric guy entirely. He had a PhD in chemistry from Duke University, and although he lived very simply, it turned out he was a man of some means. And so when Bill Judge died,
right,
he left his estate to his neighbors. And it was not I won't give away all of this, but it was not an inconsiderable amount of money, and how the neighbors dealt with it is very interesting. This is a story that ran in the Charlotte Observer. The link is on my website, weisreich.com, and I encourage you all to read it. It's a pretty quick read and very inspiring and surprising at the same time.
Is there a link to that Philadelphia Inquirer story about the guy from the National Night Out?
You know, I don't think there is, but I will put one when I get home. I'll put one up, and
that's
by this
story.
Afternoon You can find it.
Weisreich.com, WEISSWRITE. Dick, thanks for coming in.
Okay.
You got it.